Well, hello.
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 Hello. This is I Hate Your Movie.
Yes, it is.
Where we inflict movies on each other for your entertainment. And this week, we watched Turbo Kid.
Turbo Kid.
Made in 2015 in Canada.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you not get that?
No, I didn't.
It's a retro film. Okay. It's a retro throwback film.
So, just to clarify here, this is part of Friendurary or Friend February.
Kind of.
Friend February.
This is
a film that both you recommended and someone we know recommended.
Yes.
As a film that I would like.
Yeah, with the caveat of, I probably knew you're not going to like it. Maybe if it catches you in a funny mood,
mm-hmm.
I can see you liking it. But it's just, I alternate between serious and funny movies. And I needed a funny movie. And that was what I picked, basically.
Cool.
I got one more Friendurary pick.
Yes. The last ditch effort.
The last ditch effort, and then fuck it, then that's all out the window.
You might have more luck when you stop trying.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was thinking. Someone might do that. So Turbo Kid, made in 2015 by independent creators, Canada and New Zealand for some reason. These countries that couldn't be further away from each other somehow came together. Maybe they dug a tunnel and they met.
Straight down.
Yeah, straight down. It was like, we're going to collaborate with whoever comes up immediately. So, Turbo Kid, it's a non-serious movie.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of 80s retro nostalgia. Doing that first before anyone else, really, in 2015.
No, I disagree with that. 80s nostalgia has been a thing since I was young. And it really puts me off anything. Anytime I see 80s nostalgia in anything these days, I'm just, no, I don't care.
Okay.
I could not care less about the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I care as little about the 80s as most people seem to care about the 80s.
It's overdone nowadays. And I blame Stranger Things. But I like the aesthetic usually. And I like the music because I like synth music.
I've been a hater of 80s nostalgia ever since the game Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I tell you for what, I'm like, no, it's a rubbish game. And the first thing out of everyone's mouth, oh, but the soundtrack and the cars, oh, and just the look of it. That's not the game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't play GTA to listen to the fucking radio. And I don't care. I do it for the prostitutes and the murdering of them.
Yeah, that's what this game should be about. So, Rick, what is your one-sentence review?
I have a one-sentence review, but I have a bit of a preamble.
Okay.
Preamble to my one-sentence review, right? So, there's something I've always wondered in my life, and it's something I think you can help me with.
How shit a movie can be?
No, it's...
Sorry.
I'm going to start again. It's something I've always wondered in my life. And I think it's something you can help me with. There's something that you must have experienced to kind of get to a point where you've recommended me this film. And my question to you, this is my one sentence of you, is what is it like to smoke crack? Because I assume at some point you smoke some crack and then you are like, oh yeah, this is a really good film to recommend to Rick. So yeah, what is it? How is it?
I did hear that drugs enhance this movie quality. Is that your one sentence view?
It's my one sentence view, yeah. It's what's it like to smoke crack?
Well, you get very excited by some very mediocre BMX tricks. So Turbo Kid, if you don't know, because you don't. It's like the best description is Mad Max on BMX bikes.
That is a terrible description.
Why?
That massively overhypes this film. I was excited when you say it was Mad Max on bikes. Because Mad Max is a high-budget
mm-hmm.
Hollywood film. And this isn't that.
I know.
It's a Wish.com Mad Max on bikes.
But when I say BMX bikes, that should automatically be understood as it low budget. Like, no one who has like $2-3 million in their right mind would make like a Mad Max on BMX bike seriously. You make it unseriously. You make it when you don't have a budget, you know?
Okay, yeah, I kind of
so that's already baked in.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I went into it with high hopes
mm-hmm.
based on that description.
Why?
I don't know. It's just because you put Mad Max, you love Mad Max, you know?
Yeah.
It's like me saying, you know, it's It's like me telling you it's a film of like, it's Hot Fuzz, but with firefighters.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
You go in with that level of, oh, wow, it's like Hot Fuzz. Nice one.
But you don't love Mad Max.
But you do.
Oh, that's true. Okay. I like this movie.
Yeah?
There's one giant problem with it that could...
I didn't say anything.
Yeah. Look, you know what this movie is? It's like, there's like a Venn diagram of B movie and bad movie. And usually they meet because cheap movies are usually bad.
Yeah.
But this is, to me, this is a B movie that's not bad.
Okay.
So it's like outside of that. It was made lovingly. It was made like they clearly had trouble lots of times with lots of different things. But, you know, they were like passionate about it and still made it. And this is the fun way to view this movie is this. It's like, oh, this is just like a bunch of friends got together and made a movie. How you know that they were passionate about this movie is that there's approximately 2 million studios at the beginning flashing up, which is usually a really good sign, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they really wanted to make it. Did they ask for a tenner from each or what happened?
Yeah, they didn't so much go for funding. They just kind of like stood outside these office buildings and shook a tin.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. It takes place in 1997.
Yeah, the wastelands of 1997. At least that was accurate.
So what did you think? When was it made?
I had no idea. I figured it was made in like 1997.
No.
I actually thought it would be kind of more like they did it as a joke. So they did it in like 92. And it's like the wastelands of 97.
It's just a bigger gap is the joke. Because it made it in 2015.
Yeah, but that's in the past. You know what I mean? The joke would be kind of like...
Okay, just
it's like, it's like me saying, yeah, it's like me saying like the wastelands of 2027.
Sounds accurate. Sounds more and more realistic.
Do you think if you were going to make a post-apocalyptic film or like a sci-fi film, you would... Because I feel like people have learned their lesson, you know? They don't do it in like, you know, 2035 anymore. If they do a sci-fi film, it's like 2257.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we've reached the end of like 2001, A Space Odyssey? You know, things that we get to the point where we're going to live and get to those points?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think it might be done, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a shame. I would do like what Mega Man does, 2XXX, in the year 2XXX. Just fill it in your mind. That's it.
That's a good idea.
I like that one. I like that solution to this.
Hmm.
Or just come up with a different kind of numbering system, you know.
Yeah, Stardate F264.
Yeah, yeah. How are we going to talk about this movie?
It's all you, buddy.
Is it? Oh, no. I'll talk about my big issue in the movie.
Yeah.
Which I think if it was fixed, then it'd go up like 2 points for me.
Okay.
And it is the fucking editing, which is atrocious.
You think?
Yeah. Did you not notice?
No.
Every time. Well, there's lots of different things in editing. But the thing that really took away from the movie is that they're like gearing up for battle or something. And then there's like music really coming on. It's like, oh, it's pumping you up and stuff. And then it just like stops. And that happens loads of times.
Okay.
But it's just the pace is this stop and go and like, come on, come on, chop his head off or something. And then like the editing of the funny bits, the funny shenanigans, and like body horror happens or whatever. It's like just a bit too late to be funny.
Maybe I got that like subconsciously.
Yeah.
Because I didn't find it particularly funny.
Yeah, it would be if it's just like if someone more stylistic in editing style would take over and just rework it a little bit and make it more shocking and exciting and have a flow to it. But the flow was go stop. Go stop. You know, it's just really like heart stops all the time.
My main issue with it, this is subjective. I understand that there will be people that disagree with me. I know you disagree with me. I just didn't find it funny. Like,
it's not meant to be like ha-ha funny. It's meant to be like tongue-in-cheek. As like, see what I did there, kind of. Yeah. When they use the power glove and shit like that, you know. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, I felt nothing for that.
Fair enough.
And I think what they really tried to push and what they really trying to, like, they did a joke and then they just kept building on it and building on it and building on it and building on it and to try and make it kind of like, and I'm sure you found this hilarious, is the amount of blood that was used in it.
Yeah,
because it starts small and gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you've got like a whole thing of corpses all stacked on top of each other. And it's
again, I think that was the editing. I think that could have been funnier.
Yeah.
If it was a bit more snappier, yeah, a bit less predictable, because it just happens so slow.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the timing of it is awful. What did you think about the music? This might be one of those movies like like Tron Legacy, where I mostly just like the music.
Yeah, I think so. I think pretty much you could watch this film with the screen off and just play the sound, and you would love this film as much as you do anyway.
I was listening to it after a lot. Really? Score, yeah. This is really good. It's like way better than the movie. It's a bit different than Daft Punk. It was more like whimsical and like fantasy-esque.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to me. So you did not care for it?
No. It's just... The thing is, if you're going to make a film... Like an 80s throwback, which is weirdly set in 1997, yeah. By the way. That doesn't make sense.
Well, Canada, everything, it's like everywhere in the world is 10 years late. They had their America 80s in the 90s, so it makes sense. And it's a post-apocalypse, so time stopped. Kid grows up.
Yeah.
If you see the kid, he's young, so the post-apocalypse have happened at least when he was young.
Yeah, when he was a kid. So yeah, I guess seven, eight years might have passed. It could have been the 80s still.
Yeah.
When it happened. Okay.
There you go. Extra point on this movie. It went up to a 2.
You have ricked your way out of that. I don't like 80s synth music, you know. For me, like one of the best 80s bands is like The Cure. Like, I don't go for Spandau Ballet or Michael Jackson, some, but I don't go for the main ones. I go for the dark 80s that nobody talks about.
Is it like hair metal? Because I don't know about The Cure.
No, it's not. It's they have a wide variety, but it's... look up a picture of Robert Smith, and you'll just see everything that you need to know about it. Oh, it's going to make it sound more hardcore than it is. One of the intro songs for one of their albums is like, "Does it matter if we all die?"
Fair enough.
That's a perfect Robert Smith impression, by the way.
Okay. I'll compare it in editing. And then put you're saying it's a perfect impression like 15 times after that.
I'm confident. I'm confident it's going to be all right.
So should we go through the story or should we go character?
It's up to you. You're leading the thode.
Why are you always leave it to me? You're the one who brings structure to these.
I shortened the word episode to sode. Right, yeah, lead the sode.
Is that what the kids say nowadays?
It is, yeah.
The app.
I like Sode.
I think you had a favorite character.
Yeah?
I think you had a favorite character.
Okay.
And that's like kind of informed by other things in what we watched together.
Okay.
I think you really liked Apple.
I did really like Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you on some levels. You know, she's a robot.
Do you not want to talk about the main character first, or do you want to build to the main character?
You can talk about the main character. We talked about the main character. Was nothing to him. That's my joke. He's like, he's a blank slate, pretty much, right?
He's a scared guy.
Scared, but tries to be good.
But he loves Turbo Man.
He loves Turbo Man.
Is it Turbo Man?
Yeah.
Like that's not the one from Jingle All the Way.
I think it's called the same. I think so. No, it's Turbo Rider.
Yes.
Turbo Rider.
It's Turbo Rider. Can you imagine? When was Jingle All the Way released?
90-something.
It caused the post-apocalypse.
Yeah.
Everyone went out Black Friday or Christmas shopping and everything became a wasteland.
I was thinking, what if, because the kid finds the Turbo Rider spaceship or whatever the fuck. What if it's Arnie? It's just this giant skeleton. It's like, oh my God, this must have been a gorilla or something. It's not a real human.
Here's a question. Why does he collect flamingos?
He collects all sorts because he sells it later for water.
But he's got a big pile of flamingos. Everywhere he goes, he picks up flamingos.
Well, maybe that's one thing that he
can sell. Like the lawn things.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's one.
Not actual flamingos. They didn't have the budget for that.
Maybe that's one thing that he couldn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some cultural things that we don't understand here. Maybe like flamingos are like the garden gnomes of Canada.
You say that like in a post-apocalyptic England, people would just hoard garden gnomes. That's the new currency of the post-apocalyptic world. Although it's garden gnomes.
There's garden gnomes in this movie as well. So that doesn't fit.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. He collects all sorts.
Okay.
Because he's a weird kid.
He is a weird kid. who wants to be a hero.
Yeah, but he's too scared.
He is too scared until he gets superpowers, and then he's not scared anymore.
He's still scared.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he runs out of his superpower.
That really bugged me as well.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's a big flashing thing. It's like, this is your last charge. This is your last charge.
And he just like
charge.
Shoots it or whatever.
Ba-choom, 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 ba-choom. Oh, and now I'm out of charge. Shocker.
Yeah, I didn't leave any for the main bad guy.
Yeah.
To defeat. Whoops.
And then he tries as well. Because even though it's like, brudder, 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 on his wrist and it says low or out, he still goes to shoot the main guy.
Yeah. He didn't get much education in a post-apocalyptic. He can't count. Yeah, there's not much to him. He's his kid. He's got a sad backstory.
Yeah, his parents were killed by...
Michael Ironside.
The only person you'd recognize from this film.
Yeah.
Where has he been in?
Oh my god, loads of stuff. Lots of 80s, 90s films. Total Recall. Total Recall. Yeah.
Imagine getting the bad guy for Total Recall to be in your film, for your independent Canadian film. That would be like the hugest win you had.
He was on the poster. I guess he's not doing too much nowadays, I don't know.
Not after this.
So, kids.
Yeah.
Kids.
He's a whatever. Kid.
He's Anakin Skywalker. He's a blank slate. He's a nothing to put your mind into.
And then he meets Apple.
Yeah.
He meets Apple. Apple's this crazy, quirky girl with blue hair?
Pink hair? Pink hair with a trans flag on her headband, which was weird. But I think that wasn't the trans flag yet.
Yeah, I think it's just a headband.
Yeah. But it's like, that is now the trans flag, which is weird. But it works with her color scheme.
Yeah. So the whole time, so he's out in the wasteland. He's on his own. He's how old? How old did you say he is? About 15, 16?
Yeah, it's something now, like that.
Yeah, he's 15, 16 years old. And he meets this girl, like, out in the wasteland. And, oh my God, he doesn't want anything to do with her. And he tries to leave her and run away. And that kind of... I tell you now, no 15-year-old boy in an apocalyptic wasteland. If they see a girl, that's it. They're not leaving their side no matter what.
But everything is a threat.
Yeah. Even, like, this girl, this super happy girl, she's creepy and she's with a dead body.
Yeah.
But I think if I was 15, that wouldn't have been a deal breaker.
Actually, a plus, actually.
In the post-apocalyptic wasteland, you take it where you can get it.
That's why he collects those flamingos. We just found out.
So yeah, I didn't really understand. Well, I suppose I did, I'd say, because she was with a dead body.
Yeah.
It just seemed like a weird, like, I felt like they should have put something in there, like, ooh, a girl. That's like the 80s kind of, like, thing as well. It's kind of like, people are always coupling up, and it's always this kind of, like, romance. It's kind of, there's a really specific kind of 80s romance.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah.
But did you want this movie to be more 80s somehow?
You know, pick a lane at least.
I liked that part and I liked her. She was good.
Yeah, I mean, she was the actress who plays her. I don't know who it is because I've done no research.
Her name is like LeBeouf. I don't know if she's related to Shia, but her name is LeBeouf.
Really?
Something LeBeouf, yeah. Maybe it's like a really popular name up there. I don't know.
Yeah, so the actress that plays her, she does it really well.
Mm-hmm.
There's an absolute, like, electric enthusiasm for everything.
Yeah.
It just really comes across.
She carries the whole movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When she's out of it, it becomes kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it comes really boring.
Do you think she was called Apple because Apple computers? And she kind of had that old-timey Apple computer, because now everything is just white and glossy.
Mm-hmm.
But it used to be more colourful, the Apple.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, so, like, I know what you mean, like the old Audi Max or whatever they were, the big, like, looks like a CRT TV
and
the computer in it. They were all funky colours, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's always how they make their money, because they released, like, a new iPhone. It's like, ooh, shiny white or shiny black.
Yeah.
Now, there's colours. Now you can get colours, only $200 more. And then everyone runs out to buy the new coloured one. And then they put it in a case that you can't see the fucking colour anyway.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, that's how they get you.
What was you going to ask?
I can't remember.
Okay.
Was I going to ask something?
Yeah, I interrupted you.
Ah, okay.
Apple?
I thought you asked me a question.
Yeah, just before
what
I
was interrupted. What was my preamble to lead up to it?
I don't know.
Professionals.
The dementia is hitting. Did you figure out that she was a robot?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I figured there was something that you weren't being told about her from her... disposition, but I didn't figure robot. I didn't think they'd have the budget for it.
Well, they didn't.
And to be honest, the fact that she was a robot, it lessened the film for me.
Does it?
Yeah, I tell you for why. It's because they keep killing her and coming back and killing her. She's back and killing her. She's back.
And at the end, it's like, oh no, she died for real. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Why now?
Why and how?
They just gave up on her.
Yeah. Why not just take... Because there's already a bit in the film where she loses a head.
Yeah.
And she takes a head and she puts it on a new body. Do that again. Why is she dead now? There's no damage to the head.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, you mean the robot cemetery, which is five mannequins stacked on top of each other?
With that a they found green, in the bins. Green filter, like a green smoky filter over it.
Yeah. I've got a fun fact about that.
Yeah.
So this was supposed to take place in a wasteland, like actual Mad Max style desert, but it just constantly rained while they were filming. So what they did, they tinted the puddles green.
Okay.
And just called it acid rain. And they came up with that on the set.
Well, when you say they tinted them green, did they do it in post or did they just go around with lots of green food coloring?
So. I think green food coloring.
Really?
Yeah. What did you think about the epic BMX tricks? Every time, that's the one thing that constantly made me chuckle, is every time as like the bad guys on little tricycles and it goes and then like ominous music comes in. That made me laugh every time that happened.
I thought there'd be more BMX tricks in this. I think they could have paid some money to get some BMX bikers in and just set some stuff up, you know?
Yeah.
There's a little bit at the start where he grinds something or...
Yeah, there's like a slow-mo shot. When he jumps up and twirls it around.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the biggest one, yeah.
I feel like you could have spent more money on that, or at least some more time. I'm sure there was enough BMX riders out there, even in Canada, that would have just done that for free.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have just come down for the day, set something up.
That's what happened in Mad Max. They got like a... he got like a real biker gang. Wait, what did I say?
You said Mad Max.
Oh, okay, good. That's what I meant to say. That happened in Mad Max. He got like a real...
They actually did the apocalypse.
Well, they got like a real biker gang. Yeah. And then they were not actors, so they were assholes on set. What did you think about a guy who plays Clint Eastwood as a Western cowboy guy?
See, that's probably what I would point to if you want to see how cheap this film is. It's just point to that guy, because he's not good.
He felt like, to me, like he's playing a character in a fake movie inside a movie.
What?
You know what I mean? Like when Simpsons do the MacGruber, and then MacGruber is like a analogy to Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like that kind of acting.
I can't avenge my partner's death with this pea shooter.
I don't want to hear it, Big Bang. That tenant of yours is against regulations. In this department, we go by the book.
By book.
Yeah, I felt like he was just aiming for B-movie too much. I think the really good B-movies have kind of a little bit of sincerity to them.
Mm.
And this didn't. It was very much as if like me or you was playing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It didn't need an actor. It just needed a guy.
Yeah.
Which may be what happened.
It would have been funny if like a fat guy like me played that character and then played it that serious. You know, like, hey, kid. And it's just like built up as this like giant gray guy who can defeat anything. That would be funny.
Yeah. Like, get Rich Evans from Best of the Worst to do it.
Yeah. I think the real bad guy of this film.
The real bad guy
is that skull guy with the frizzy hair.
Skull guy, yeah, the one that's on a tiny bike.
Yeah, yes, and he shoots soul blades, circular soul blades.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
some of the stuff in this was pretty inventive. Like that bit where he shoots saw blades from his thing. I think the most inventive part is when they attach the guy's intestines to the bike. They pedal it out.
Yeah. That was inventive and stupid at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just really stupid.
I think they could have taken it over the line, just made it completely stupid, and then just put like a Jack in the Box music in the background, like a you know, as he was cycling a little bike. Yeah, so some of it's like pretty, you know, pretty inventive and pretty. I think that's a lot of the reason I didn't like the end of this film is because they took that inventiveness. And they kind of jump the shark with it a little bit. it just became too, this guy lost an arm and that guy lost an arm and that guy's got stuff coming out of his chest and that one's been completely disemboweled.
I like the umbrella kill though, even though it doesn't make sense. Sticks an umbrella into a guy and then opens it and it explodes from that for some reason. It's a fucking powerful umbrella. They have this like mid-movie action scene.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes place in the pool party, which I thought was funny. Which is, they call it a pool party, and then it's like a gladiator type thing, yeah, where like they're in arena. The pool, and then they have
in
to
a somewhere, tiny pool.
In a tiny pool, yeah, whatever they could rent. And then again, the action is like, it's like, oh my god, something cool happens, and they don't build on that, but instead they just stop, and then they start talking, even though the threat is still there.
See, this is the thing with the film. It just, there's not enough to it.
Mm-hmm.
To warrant a film.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make enough sense, and it doesn't make not enough sense.
Okay.
You know, it's in a weird kind of gray area where it's not one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not B movie, but it's not good. It's not, well, it is B movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's somewhere in the middle. Here's a question for you.
Yeah.
What came first, this or Zombieland?
Ooh.
Zombieland, right? 2015? I feel like Zombieland's like 2009 or somewhere
2009,
around.
2009, yeah.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's also weird that it came up after I just typed Zom.
And really?
Yeah, it came up as Zombieland.
It's listening to you. Definitely listening to you. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a scene in this as well where it's like, rule one of surviving the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, that's just Zombieland. You just ripped that off.
Well, they have more obvious ripoffs than that.
Oh, really?
When the apple is like teaching him how to defeat someone.
Oh, that was really funny.
It's exactly from Karate Kid.
Is it?
It is, yeah.
It cannot be from Karate
Not
Kid.
Not the genital bit, but when she says like, surprise, attack.
It's surprise, eyes, throat, genitals.
She tells him, strike first, strike hard, show no mercy.
Okay.
That's from Karate Kid.
Is actually?
Yeah, for ultimate nostalgia points.
Eyes, throat, genitals.
Yeah. That would have made Karate Kid very different. Tell you what, in that scene, they build a fireplace.
Oh, yeah.
With VHS tapes. They should have died in like 10 seconds later, like plastic poisoning, cancer, whatever. But definitely not good for you, right? Inhaling magnetic tape.
They don't burn either. There's no way you could have a campfire with VHS tapes. You could put them on a campfire and they would melt.
And then you die.
Yeah.
Because it's magnetic tape in
it's
your
the
lungs.
Plastic fumes.
Yeah, plastic fumes is terrible. Do you think Michael Ironside wore a mask because they're intending to use like a body double? That was my big thing throughout the movie. Like how in the Wet Hot American Summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the,
it's a weird jump.
But disconnected. Bradley Cooper's first film. But when they did the Netflix TV show, he became too big for that. So mm-hmm. he shows up for one episode and then he plays DJ Ski Mask. It's just a guy with a ski mask. Maybe.
Maybe they booked him for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then just in case,
just
we'll
in
put
case.
A mask on him.
I'm pretty sure that was the idea. I would do the same.
That's a good idea. I would never have thought of that.
Yeah, and that happens a lot in B-movies.
It's weird that he keeps putting it on and taking it off. I suppose you've got to show him off because he's your main character, but he's got to put it on just in case you need that character somewhere else.
Exactly. Two things could have happened. One is that they were not sure that he's going to be up for all his scenes. So they were going to get the body double.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could have been that they actually shot more stuff with the body double and the scenes that were cut out.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah,
Apple comes back. Good thing he put a hood on a girl's body and not some fat guy.
Well, it could have been useful. It could have been like a tank.
Yeah, just put it. Or just her head on like Arnold Schwarzenegger, like a Terminator style body.
Turbo Man,
double Turbo Man, Turbo Rider Man.
Yeah,
it's a bit I didn't really like at the end of it. It's because mm-hmm. I thought the film had ended, and then it didn't because Zeus was a robot all along.
Yeah. I kind of like that bit.
Yeah.
That was an interesting characterization because he kind of alludes to being that he was built by kind of like a similar genocidal maniac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was built for the purpose of being like him, but he killed him. He killed his master. So I thought there was some interesting stuff going on there. Yeah, that was an interesting backstory.
Just wanted the film to end. And again, like, it goes back to like the fact that Apple's lived and died and lived and died. It's like, you know, I got really thought like, oh God, this is going to go on forever. It's just going to keep living again and again and again. I don't actually remember how he died. How did he die in the end? Did he die?
The bad guy?
Yeah.
He exploded somehow.
Yeah, with a bomb that didn't go off for some reason. And then, well, I mean, we've spoken about it already, but I've got a whole like list of notes. Like, Apple dies again. It's a weird way to end a joke film.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that was my question for this scene. Like, am I meant to be genuinely upset at this point? Like, they put in this weird kind of like half emotional scene in there where she dies.
I think the emotional stuff with Apple is supposed to be sincere.
Yeah.
But yeah, everything around it is silly.
Mm.
She's good. You need like an emotional core, unless, you know, you don't give a shit about anything.
And my very last point. My very last point about this film is robots don't have souls.
Did she say she has soul?
No, but then somebody dies. They become a star in the night sky. I'm pretty sure that doesn't include, like, toasters. I'm pretty sure when an iPhone dies, a star doesn't shine.
What do you think? What kind of robot was she? Because she says, at some point she says she's a friend unit or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's code for something?
I feel like you're going down a dark path there. But
yeah, that's code for something.
People can just be friendly with their robots. You know, it doesn't have to be weird. You have to be weird about it, you know? There's tons and tons of reasonable and innocent explanations why somebody would want an incredibly happy 16-year-old robot. It's just, you know.
Wear the trans flag.
My God.
I like that on a girl.
That was weird. yeah.
Drag the dead body around. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Oh my God.
Fuck yeah.
And on that note, yeah, I'm done.
Okay. I think this is one of those movies where you have to be drunk to enjoy it more.
I don't think it would help.
No?
No.
Think you'd be like, whoa.
Nope.
So. What is your rating?
I mean, somewhere between a 3 and a 4.
Okay.
I'll go 3. Okay.
I'll go 5.
5? Okay.
I like it.
Yeah.
It's flawed.
It's rewatchable.
I like it still, but it's very flawed. And some of the, like, effort is shown.
Yeah.
You know, and that's nice. And I like that. And it kind of, I'm really impartial to these kind of movies that just feels like a bunch of friends got together and made a movie.
Partial. You said impartial.
Impartial.
No, partial. Really partial to this one.
I'm really... I have a big heart for these movies where people got together, made a movie. It's hard to make a movie. Especially on a low budget.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was... And they kept it like somewhat consistent. It looked cheap, but it was consistent. They problem solved with the acid rain thing. It's cool. I like it.
Okay.
Before you recommend the next movie...
Yeah.
I'd like to warn you...
Okay.
...that you showed me about 2 trailers after we watched Lady Bird... Or maybe after we watched Turbo Kid. But basically, you showed me 2 trailers that were like, this is like Lady Bird. I might do like a whole feminist month.
Yeah, why not? Why are you arguing against feminism, you misogynist bastard?
Well, get out, you woke lip. You
fucking.
So before you recommend the movie,
mm-hmm.
I might exercise my veto power if you recommend any of those 2 movies that we watched the trailers of, because it was so bad looking and it was just so annoying looking.
Bottoms would be. You'd hate Bottoms. I think you would like, kind of like, if you like Lady Bird, you would like Booksmart.
Sure. It looks really, the trailer made it look so annoying. Yeah.
So anyway, we're watching The Martian.
Oh, okay. A feminist movie, A Martian.
It's one dude. It's one guy.
I heard this movie gets really annoying with Matt Damon joking around and stuff. But it is also one of Neil deGrasse Tyson's favorite movie, and he's the ultimate movie science nitpicker.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
I'm sorry, but you have not thought this through. I mean, what are we going to say? Dear America, remember that astronaut we killed and had a really nice funeral for? Turns out he's alive and we left him on Mars. Our bad.
Matt Damon!